the hands from any face, leave nothing to forgive it. Time would never credit me, I only took the minutes. Good night, Mrs. Good night, sir. All the people living up by transit going, keep one's word.
Transmissions from the heartland. They thought us devils. All is forgiven. Now I'm the memory of myself in no man's land without colony. I was the drone, you were the empire. Veni, vici, vidi. Veni, vici, vidi, as it is defined in a modern mind. We'll be right back.
by now how to live a better life. It's only getting harder, and we ain't getting smart. No, we ain't. No, we ain't. You need a lot of something. Always some places rise. I need something too. Might not need it from you. Yeah, I got some things I'd like to hear somebody say, and I said them to you. Cause we ain't reading all the clues. Cause we ain't. Cause we ain't. So many times, so many tears you brought to my eyes. Make it hard to sleep alone, except for all the ones that I've learned to face right on. Loving one another, supposed to be worth the fight, but you say nothing's wrong. Swear I'd get this fucking song. Cause we ain't. Cause we ain't. Cause we ain't.
Let's give this a break for a minute. I think we know the arrangement now. We know something more than we knew 10 minutes ago. I know,
got that beat.
My first question is just about Cowboys in the Campfire and you and Chip Roberts. When did you first start working on this record and why?
Well, he and I started writing together when I met him roughly 15 years ago. I met him. He's my ex-wife's uncle. And you know, I moved from L.A. to Philadelphia in about 2009, and we just kind of became fast friends and started writing together. He'd kind of been somewhat semi-retired from the guitar for a while, and I kind of dragged him out in my way of doing things. And we started writing together, and we wrote stuff, you know, that ended up on my solo record, One Man Mutiny, as well as this latest Bash and Pop record I did. Mm-hmm. It just seemed kind of inevitable that we do our own record. And we started throwing it together, you know, right around 2016 when we recorded, I think, the first five tracks with John Doe in Austin, Texas, which just happened to be kind of the perfect storm of events. My friend Christine Smith was running a studio down there, and John Doe had just moved to Austin, and we were playing in Austin. I was like, why don't we get together and do a thing? And John was more than accommodating. He showed up with an upright bass, and we did the thing, and it was a lot of fun. And based on that first session, which was a lot of fun, the first five songs came out of that. We decided we had to start up a record. It took us a while to finish it, because we had so many other things going on in both of our personal lives and stuff like that, and professional lives. So, you know, it was a slow burn to get from, you know, Demoville to, you know, recording, but here we are.
There's a lot of tracks on the album, like some don't have drums and some do have drums. Was that like intentional or just kind of happened naturally?
Yeah, I mean, we started off as a duo knowing that the whole record of just the two of us might be a little boring, but, and we really let the songs kind of dictate what they wanted. And what we came up with, really, the songs kind of, you know, this, you know, Dream wanted a drum behind it, and, you know, others didn't, you know, Hey Man, you know, seemed like an orchestra piece, which I hadn't done before and was just doing it. I tried it with my friend Claudia Chopek, coming up with something. She came up with a beautiful part, and I was like, that sounds great. And we just experimented. And the whole thing is very experimental, and we've been enjoying that aspect of it a lot.
Cool. And the John Doe thing, I know you talked about it already, but did you know John before? Or
I've known John Doe since the 1900s. you know, we used to play together back in the early 80s. We played The Replacements, open up for X for a good stint there, many years. And we stayed in contact, stayed friends for all these years, you know.
I wanted to ask about a couple of the tracks, maybe how you kind of came up with them and how they kind of wound up on the record. You kind of touched on a few of them already, but maybe like the first song, Here We Go Again, and maybe That's It as well.
Yeah. Well, I wrote them both on ukulele, which is a funny instrument in my repertoire. Once in a while, I'll grab it and start monkeying around, but the ukulele has a very innocent and festive quality about it that, you know, you just can't mistake. It's hard to make a ukulele sound serious or to sing a serious song too. It's somewhat a comical instrument in my estimation, although I do long to write a ballad on it one day. I'll see how that works, but, you know, it's just a funny bit, both of them. Wrote them on ukuleles, just on the off the cuff.
And the song Dream, you kind of touched on a bit. Maybe you could talk a bit more of that song.
Yeah, you know, wrote it over a drunken night over the kitchen table with Chip and I, kind of at odds with each other. We just kind of hammered it out, and it became a thing. And you know, it turned out to be kind of a fun track to do.
Does it just happen naturally, or do you like do words first, or it's always different?
Well, as we speak to you, my friend, I just got done messing around with a song idea that just came to me a little bit ago that I've been kind of had in the back of my head. It's just notes and melodies. And so today, on our day off, we're going to go find a room to sit and mess around and see what we come up with it. And that's how I do it. I kind of wing stuff. I don't have any particular fashion of doing it. Kind of write it as I go, and they kind of turn into what they turn into kind of on their own.
And I had a couple questions about the Tim Bach set too. There's a song you wrote on there called Having Fun that Paul sings. I just wanted to ask you about that song and maybe how it wound up being recorded.
Well, Paul was always he's always been a real supporter of the other guy, of all of us in the band, doing, if we felt like we had a song to bring to the table, to bring it to the table, let's do it. You know, he was always very supportive of that, as opposed to some, you know, who were like, yeah, that sucks, let's not do that. He was always very supportive, whether he liked it or not, or thought it had anything. He was really good about that. And so, you know, we messed around with it for a bit, and he helped try to make it a thing, and was encouraging about it. So, you know, and at the end of the day, it didn't make the cut. We all knew. But the good part, the good takeaway is that he encouraged me to keep working, keep doing it, you know, do your thing. And that was cool. And he encouraged my brother and Chris as well. I mean, bring your stuff to the table, you know, whatever you got. He wasn't all about so much, you know, to me guy, you know.
And recording the sessions for Tim, Tommy Ramone produced it. I just want to ask, what comes to mind when you think of that time period and working with Tommy Ramone?
Well, you know, the thing that was that I remember about it was that it was a really troubling time. You know, we were having problems with my brother, trying to keep him in the groove of things, and he was kind of going far out to the right there, far out to the left, whichever way. Both on any given day, really. And it was hard. Paul had some songs, you know, up his sleeve, and we were trying to take it to another level. And we just signed a Warner Brothers, and it was a whole thing. And it was a hard record to put together. And, you know, Tommy, you know, was a great engineer and good at kind of helping wrangle us the best he could. I would imagine we were a tough gig in that regard, because we were a bit rough to wrangle at that, you know.
And there's a new mix of Tim on this box set. I wanted to ask you maybe what you remember of the original mix. I know it's been said that the band wasn't really happy with the way it came out. And the new mix, like how involved were you and the band with the new mix?
So there's two records that we made that I always hated the mix of. Tim was one of them, and Don't Tell a Soul was the other one. Thankfully, they both been remixed. Not that it matters at this point, but it does matter in terms of presenting those the material well. And mm-hmm. where Tim is concerned, that record was always supposed to be mixed by Ed Stasium. When we made the deal, we thought that Tommy, you know, was going to produce the record, and Ed was going to mix it with Tommy. And what happened, there was a scheduling conflict, and Tommy couldn't, and Ed Stasium couldn't do it. So when it came about that, and so Tommy ended up mixing it on his own, which was not the best idea because, you know, he admittedly had, his hearing wasn't great for that at that point in his career. But it happened, and that's what we got out of it. And so cut to now, the opportunity to have Ed Stasium remix it. I wouldn't have agreed to just have any random Joe, you know, remixer guy do it, mm-hmm. Because, you know, Ed and Tommy had made some records together. It made sense on this particular occasion. Like, let's have, you know, Ed do this and see what he comes up with. And he came up with a great remix of this record, which is fantastic. So it presents the record in a better light, I think, for those who are fans, that they're going to love it. And, you know, and that's that.
Wrong. He's been waiting for you long enough to hear this song. Everything will be much easier every day I'm gone. At least we finally found out that I was Mr. Wrong. And I hope your Mr. Next will be Mr. Right. You won't see me in the morning. You won't see me at night. You won't see me. Troubles playing out in a brand new light. With a steady hand, he's sure to make it seem alright. But I'm quaking in my boots, just praying I don't miss you. Well, I hope your Mr. Next will be Mr. Right. Well, I hope your Mr. Next. I hope your Mr. Next. I hope your Mr. Next will be Mr. Right.
You've been listening to Revolution Rock here on CJAM 99.1 FM in the Windsor, Detroit area and online via cjam.ca. Also, we're syndicating across several different stations throughout Canada. I'm your host, Dave, joined with Adam, and this entire episode, we've been highlighting interviews throughout the history of time.
Well, I think throughout the history of 2023.
No, the history of the universe.
Interesting. Well,
actually, no, we didn't.
You must have
that.
Short-term memory issues.
Yes, we did. There was only 7 interviews in the history of the universe.
And they're all conducted by us.
And they're all conducted by us. No! We were just doing interviews from 2023 done for the show and through the website. I apologize for the lame humor there. But we came back from a track that preceded an interview clip with another artist that we were very surprised we had a chance to speak to, who also played at the Dominion House this year in Windsor, Tommy Stinson.
That's right. So from Tommy Stinson, we actually heard a song called Mr. Wrong, and that's featured from his last release, Wronger. As you mentioned preceding that, we heard a little bit of that interview with Tommy, which was such a win and such an incredible opportunity. A huge thank you going out to you, Tommy, for gracing us with that time. Before that, we heard something else from the album Wronger. We heard We Ain't. And preceding that, we heard some music and an interview clip with Bri Webb.
Yeah, we heard Outbound Only, No Return, from his album Run With Me, which is his first album in several years. I believe it was 9, maybe. Mm-hmm. And that's a great release. We also had a clip before that with Bri Webb from the interview that was done. And then we had AM Blues, which was the album that came out before Run With Me. Okay, so that about does it. We're almost through with the show here. We're going to hear... Well, we heard two songs from Tommy Stinson's Cowboys in the Campfire, but we're actually going to end with a track from another release. It was a reissue, actually, that came out in 2023. And there may be a few extra tracks throughout this show that we didn't get to in the speaking segments. Head to revrock.blogspot.com for the full playlist and track list of this episode. But what are we going to end off with to begin this next ending set?
Well, to what we're going to play to end off the show is going to be a demo version of Kiss Me on the Bus. Now, this was a studio demo that was cut a little bit preceding the recording of the album that would eventually be known as Tim. This is a slightly different version, a little bit more rocky, a little bit more energetic than the sort of bouncing song that we'd be more familiar with. This is taken from the Tim Let It Bleed edition, which is an amazing record that features a remastered version of the original mix, a brand new mix by Ed Stasi, number of live songs, as well as a rarities compilation which features demos, alternative versions of the songs, and it's an eye-opening experience. It's a treasure trove for any Replacements fan, and it easily stands amongst the best reissues of the year, if not indeed being the best. I actually have to argue, while I normally don't prefer demo versions to studio albums, this might be my one exception.
You like this one more?
I might just, but you know, we'll let the audience be the judge of what they think as we hear Kiss Me on the Bus, the studio demo version of it, and that's how we're going to end out this edition of Revolution Rock.